Habakkuk talked about Babylon to destroy, but when Zephaniah comes on the scene, he doesn't care to name the destroyer. He just says, you're going to be judged. Judgment is coming. UPS started probably with this book. The Universal Postal Service. God would send out an invitation in the form of a reservation. And it went out to every person. It even went out to inanimate objects. That's sure enough for everything, isn't it? We're talking about the book of Zephaniah tonight. Zephaniah is about judgment. Judgment is coming. Earlier tonight, my dear brother Hiram mentioned the darkest book. Well, brothers and sisters, let me tell you about the hottest book in the Old Testament. This is it, right here, Zephaniah. One person, George Smith, says, no hotter book lies in all Old Testament. Neither dew nor grass, nor tree, nor any blossom lives in it. But it is everywhere fire, smoke, darkness, drifting chaff, ruins, nettles, salt pits, and owls and ravens looking from windows of desolate places. Why? Zephaniah 1 and verse 2. Because I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land, says the Lord. Why? Because I'm sending out reservations to you. Zephaniah 1 and verse 7 says, be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, and here's your reservation. He has invited his guests. A universal invitation. A universal reservation. No one will be able to escape it. And yet, the theme, those who overcome can come over. That's what Zephaniah wants the remnant of God to know. Even though you have this reservation, when you repent, you can be part of the remnant. And that outlines the entire book. If you were to lay the book open, you would see in chapter 1, the severity of judgment, reservation, universal. In chapter 2, the sureness of judgment, universal repentance demanded. Chapter 3, salvation in the midst of the judgment, the remnant, which is not universal, it is unique for a minority of God's people. Those who are willing to overcome can come over. Sound familiar, doesn't it? Revelation 3 and verse 21. Jesus echoed those same words back then. God of heaven is saying to the world, there is going to be a universal judgment. And there are three kinds of, and I talk about this with my daughter sometimes to let her know about the ugliness of sin. It's, don't take it funny when I say this, but it's, I call it the B, which says, their sins were so bad that they would make a buzzard puke. And then there is the M. When your sins are so bad, you will gag a maggot. And here are the other ones for the catch-all. It's called a YBD. Isn't that right, brother? A YBD for sin. You know what YBD means, brother? You big dummy. Yeah. Why? Because Romans 6 and verse 23. Because the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is God, and you choose death, you big dummy. YBD on you. YBD on your children. YBD on the nation. YBD on the world. Those who overcome can come over. And so you have this outlay. Going back to chapter 1, the surety of judgment. God has sent out reservations to his guests. Not guests in his house, by the way, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, but guests before his judgment throne. You know, sometimes we think we're in the house and we haven't even got to the throne yet. God says that you're going to be judged. Every one of us will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Isn't that right? And yet, this type of judgment, which he sends out as universal, should remind us of our situation as well. We're going to get this reservation. There's a reservation with your name on it. And judgment is on the calendar. You know, we make a mistake sometimes when we say, well, there are only 2 months that starts with a J. That's wrong. You say June and January. I count the judgment. I don't know when it is, but I know it's on God's calendar, so it ought to be on mine. Amen? Okay, I'll say it. God wants us to see that Zephaniah wants you to see the same thing that God wants us to see. There's a reservation on God's calendar for those who don't overcome. Those who refuse to overcome, they can't come over. You can come to the throne, but you won't get in the house. You know. Everybody want to go to the promised land, but they don't understand. Sometimes and every time, you're going to have to go through some wilderness. Yeah. And that wilderness will be those YBD sins, the sins that all sins, whatever they are, I don't know what your case is. I'm too busy trying to deal with my own. That God can take care of. And the prophet is trying to tell us the importance in chapter 2 of repentance. It can be for anyone who is willing to come over. And when you think in terms of this, even though the message warns of judgment, the prophet still offers the penitent security from God's wrath. Look at Zephaniah 2, verses 1 through 3. Gather yourselves together. Yes, gather together, O undesirable nation, before the decree is issued. Before the decree is issued. Or the day passes like chaff. Before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you. Before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you. And he says, do what? Seek the Lord. All you meek of the earth who have upheld his justice, seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. Now there's hope in that statement. See, God has always worked in the minority business. And he always will. In Matthew 7, he tells us to enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And he says, there are many who go in by it. But because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few, minority, that find it. Those who overcome, Zephaniah, can come over. Why? God will work with you. One of the saddest commentaries in Christian living today is we don't think that God works with us who are in the minority. And folks, we are in the minority. Don't think that you're not. If you're a child of God, John 16:33, you're in the minority. And when we think of these many beautiful passages of Scripture where we can see God helping us as he worked with us in the minority. I'm thinking, let's look Romans 8:28, for example. Sometimes we take it for granted. Break it down. There are four laws going into play for the minority in Romans 8:28. Let's look at them. The Bible says, and we know that all things work. That's the law of operation. And we know that all things work together. That's the law of cooperation. We know that all things work together for good. That's the law of compensation. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. There's the minority there. The law of limitation. Don't tell me God's not working with the minority. In the day of wrath, God's going to be working with the minority. The question and the theme of the book for you is, are you willing to overcome to come over because you've got a reservation? Will that reservation be hot or cold? It's not going to be lukewarm. I can tell you that much right now. Hello? Matthew 25, beginning at verse 31, and when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. You won't miss it. And he shall gather them together as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Five quick points, because you know I can't do this all up. I got that. Judgment day, according to the prophet, is a certainty. Judgment day is a reality. Judgment day will involve separation. Judgment day is going to involve joy for those who overcome. I want to be in that number, don't you? Will you help me get there? I want to help you to get there, you know, because I want to shoot straight with you. If I think you're doing a YBD, I'm going to tell you. Oh, yeah. Galatians 4 and verse 6, I will tell you that. And I will tell you lovingly. And sometimes it may not be as lovely as you think, but I'm not trying to step on your toes. I'm aiming at your heart. I don't want to miss that. And so we understand the importance then of that. In the chapter 3, the salvation of judgment, that remnant, God says, looking down a ton of time, is going to be personified in the church, where all of us can be one in Christ Jesus. And though we know about the goodness and the severity of God, we know about the love of God to deliver. Isn't God able to deliver? Zephaniah says that he is. And even though these people were in the process of religious restoration, they were even tearing down idols in the land. But they had one problem. Many of them did not tear down the idols of their hearts. You may be like that tonight. I don't know. But you need to understand, God loves you. God has sent you a reservation. God says you can repent and be a part of the remnant, and I will work with you. And if, in fact, you understand this, you take God's word. I always tell folks, when you don't know what else to do and you know there's a crook in the midst, to identify the crook, look in the book. John 10 and verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Which one would you rather have? By looking in the book, we understand the remnant has a new Jerusalem, chapter 3, verses 16 through 20. And in that, in verse 17, the Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Only my God can do that. Zephaniah. It's about reservation. It's about repentance. But it's also about a remnant that he will work with to bring them over into that one body, the church. over which Christ is the head and through which his spirit dwells. Oh, he's coming back, folks. When Jesus came the first time, he came in shame. But the second time, he's coming in splendor. The first time, he rode in Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey. But the second time, he will ride the clouds of glory. The first time, he came incognito. The second time, every eye shall see him. Isn't that right? The first time, he came by himself, voluntarily, by the way. But the second time, he is coming with the mighty angels in vengeance. The first time he stood before Pilate, and the second time when he comes, Pilate and all of us will stand before him. You won't miss it. You'll have that reservation. The first time he wore a crown of thorns on his head. Now he wears a crown of righteousness forevermore. As king, he had over his head when they crucified him on the cross the first time, King of the Jews. Right now, he's sitting, reigning and ruling over all, king over the world, over the universe. He's coming back. Be assured, dear friend, he's coming back. And when he comes back, he's coming back for his remnant, the church. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. Are you in the body of Christ tonight? Are you making plans to be able to overcome, whether it's a YBD or the buzzard or whatever the case may be, of sin? Please know that sin will keep you longer than you want it to stay. Sin will make you spend more than you intend to pay. Sin will do that to you, folks. The cost of sin. But there's the beauty of God's plan of salvation. God gave us faith to destroy the love of sin through the word of God, the message of God. That's what we've been preaching on all week. The message of God from these prophets. God gave repentance, or ordered repentance, to destroy the practice of sin. God gave us the command to confess, to show our dependency on him as Lord. And baptism to destroy the state of sin. Remission to destroy the guilt of sin. The spirit to destroy the power of sin. The resurrection to destroy the punishment of sin, so that the last enemy, death, will be destroyed. God's got it under control. The question is, do you have it under control? Tonight, if you're subject to heaven's invitation because you have a reservation and you haven't made the right step to overcome, come on so you can come over while together we stand and sing.